Oh, I have it, actually have it on the slide. So, no problem. Okay. Okay, good, thanks.
I else we do now?
Right, but we only have 24 students in a theater, and then half of those are now.
I thought you said so.
Yeah. Well, we're expecting to pay for the year. But then they're different reasons, sir, which is what they probably should. So one of these deals, but it's, like, you have them assigned to each of these now, and they essentially were on the staff nurse by the end of, but that's a very good turn. So in that room, when we have 48 people working, which is what I really have, is to have them working on contributing to community culture, stuff that should be projects for part of the nurse education. Part of the time for the project, that's one of the staff nurses. And then the other time should they be in our team, so we have like three different groups. What they do, what they do is what. So you don't kind of see it. Do we find something in this?
The two of us have represented all of them. We're both at the University of Florida.
Here, you can try to turn.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, so is mine. And you're gonna actually start?
I'm gonna start. Then I can introduce myself and do a couple of things. You'll have to tell her about the tenants. Oh, we had it.
Yes, it's actually his turn. Actually, I don't have your name on it. They all have to. I just put my name on it, so they'll have to disclose.
Oh, I have some of my other presentations.
Have you had to use that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought people were just for the most part, or do you?
I do it pretty well.
Some people just really don't pay regularly. Look at their own time.
Yeah.
But in their ideas, yeah.
I think they're right. I'll try to shut up before I get to the.
And I'm like, so brave.
Yeah.
You're sitting with that.
Maybe a difference.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now I've glasses under here if anybody needs a glass. There are more glasses under here if anybody needs something to drink. Good morning. Welcome to session 4120.3. I'm Alexandra Garcia. I'm the moderator for this session, and the session's called Linking Education and Practice for Excellence in Public Health Nursing, LEAP. I don't know that all the sessions are about LEAP, but they're all about nursing education, public health nursing education. So it looks to be an interesting session. We have four presentations. Each one's going to be about 20 minutes long, and then we'll have time for questions at the end. Please write your questions down so you don't forget them. And we're going to start with Dr. Ann Carey. She is the dean at Loyola University School of Nursing in New Orleans. Sure, come on up.
Well, good morning. This is not church, so you're welcome to come up front, and my handouts are in the back in case you didn't have a chance to get one. First of all, I want to acknowledge that I have no financial relationship with this presentation, so we've been there and done that. And then I also want to acknowledge the co-authors, both on the article that we wrote talking about our vision, as well as the co-authors for the presentation. And that's Dr. Pamela Levine, Dr. Pam Kuhlbach, Mary Mulley, Jean Leffers, and Barbara Prolifica. So thank you. And Mary's in the audience.
Yeah.
So Mary's in the audience, and I'm sure she'll feel free to chime in. How many of you read the book, The World is Flat? Okay. Well, I had read the book last year, and it came to me as we were doing the graduate education paper for ASHNEE that this is an optimal opportunity for all of us to rethink the way in which we're delivering specialty education. So what Thomas Friedman tells us in The World is Flat is that actually we no longer are limited to our geographic borders because we've got technology that really drives us in many different directions. And I was talking to a co-presenter with a very interesting proposal in which the Medical College of Georgia truly sees that the world is no longer round but flat. So because of this, we have the opportunity in public health nursing to rethink the way in which we can educate more advanced practice nurses, deliver much more content, and really utilize the excellence and resources that we may have in programs around the country. Many of you may be surprised to know we have a nursing shortage in public health nursing as well. And so we really do need to think outside the box. And as a dean, I'm now on the other side of the fence. And so I really do appreciate what my dean colleagues have been dealing with in trying to recruit new faculty. The meat of the presentation and the imagination part of this is really going to be at the end. But in order to ground us, I wanted to make sure we were all on board with the definition of what is public health nursing, because it's not med-surg in the street and it's not a location. It really is its own essence of theoretical practice. And just to remind us that when we're talking about public health nursing, we're really talking about the core functions of public health. So in the article that was published this year, ASHNEE came out with its Essentials for Graduate Preparation, which really changes the landscape of what we need to be thinking about in terms of advanced practice public health nursing. And it specified the 18 areas in which we need to focus in educational preparation for advanced practice nursing, or advanced practice public health nursing. This you will notice in these areas that there are some areas that have not traditionally been in our master's programs or our doctoral programs. So again, the frame for our education at the advanced practice public health nursing is much larger than it used to be. So I want to let that sit with you. I hope you do have a handout, and if you have a chance, I've given you the citation for the article as well. Well, whenever we introduce a new vision for education and practice, What we realize is that there is going to be a gap in faculty preparation, as well as the ability or the capability of a student to mount a program that has the essential areas. So again, what we're saying in this document is that advanced practice nursing, we do adhere to the AACN, where you know they are saying that advanced specialty practice is at the doctoral level. So you will notice in the essentials of AACN that the eight areas, many of these areas have been hallmarks of public health practice for a long time. There's not a huge learning curve in terms of D&P areas for well-established public health programs. However, we do have to rethink again how we're going to deliver that for those schools that, for instance, do not have are not doctoral institutions, are remaining at the master's level, and what are the implications for this preparation for advanced practice public health nursing. So what is it going to require for us to meet the AACN mandate for specialty preparation? First of all, we need to think about new educational processes. By my calculation, there are about 345 master's programs that are not at this moment in time able to meet these requirements. And so the ethical question is, you know, how do we assist programs to prepare a nursing workforce that really does have the capability of the new essentials that we are saying are important for comprehensive public health nursing services? Faculty development is a huge issue. Some of the faculty that have graduated from our master's programs themselves do not have the essential content areas. And so, once again, we need to think about ways in which we can increase the capability of our faculty to meet these requirements. Interdisciplinary education, we've done a lot in terms of voicing our need for interdisciplinary education, but one is hard-pressed to find an actual interdisciplinary collaborative experiences in our specialty preparation areas. Many of our schools do not have natural links to schools of public health, to schools of management, etc., where the interdisciplinary can happen. And so we have to think carefully about how we're going to help our colleagues increase their capacity in interdisciplinary education in curriculums. And then finally, the importance of the strong practice relationships. We find variable quality in the opportunities for our clinical placements, and certainly with the D&P, there are very few exemplars of D&P in practice in public health nursing. And so we've got to be creative about how we stimulate the practice partnerships and the characteristics that we will look for in our practicums across the country. And just FYI, they may be outside of our natural communities. So we need to think bigger and broader about this as well. Just a reminder that at the advanced practice level, we are responsible for contributing both to the science of nursing through translational research, as well as developing new science, as well as to the science of public health. Okay, so while we present these as silos, they're really not silos. There's a lot of cross-fertilization between those. All right, well, what are our challenges and solutions? And this is where I'm asking you to kind of think creatively, thinking about the flat world. Well, the first question is the new educational processes, and how will you access the content and the expertise in the public health and the nursing sciences in order to meet the 2015 recommendation for advanced practice. So some of the areas that we discussed in the committee was, first of all, begin to form now partnerships with those schools that are actually in place for having the 18 essential content areas. I know that this, we don't really have an inventory of those schools at this point, but it would be worthwhile to start shopping the internet and to figure out what schools do have specific areas that you may not have. For instance, there are schools that do have genomics and do have leadership courses, whereas if you don't happen to have that, it may be possible to locate and partner with a school. Not only schools that develop online coursework, but I was talking in a recent dean's meeting about the opportunity to do off-site concentrated courses with those schools, mixing up the students from different schools and mixing up the schools even within a campus. So partnering with a school that has a program or a school in public health and doing some cross-collaboration in terms of course development. One school is thinking about developing a graduate certificate as a bridge to the DNP, and the graduate certificate may be constituted of more public health science courses, because that's where their particular gap seems to be in terms of program development. So then folding in the certificate in public health sciences, then related to using that as a bridge to a DNP, it might be a useful mechanism. And of course, trying to get joint appointments in schools of public health or programs in public health is critical, I think, because anytime you can begin teaming nursing faculty with public health faculty, it's a real win-win situation. We happen to have that opportunity at the University of Massachusetts, and we had five of our courses that used teaming of nursing and public health people. And so it really brought a very different perspective to the coursework. And of course, we had interdisciplinary students in our courses as well, so that was a huge bonus for us. All right, in terms of your options for faculty development, one of the ideas that I'm sort of vetting through the Quad Council is whether or not the Quad Council could take the leadership role in developing faculty development institutes. So, and then partnering perhaps with ASPH, which is the Association of Public Health Schools, to really develop learning institutes so our faculty can feel emboldened and feel more confident in their knowledge base in some of the public health sciences. So this is an idea that I vetted at the ACHNE meeting in June, and we'll see what happens with that in terms of the Quad Council. We also need to talk about sharing our faculty resources, either locally or at a distance. And it's my vision, and I've gotten some funding from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, to explore a national model of a collaborative faculty development and course offerings, so that we begin to mentor faculty. It might work like we would go to the University of San Francisco, who has, let's say, 25 students enrolled in a course, so they really can't take additional students, but we would team our faculty member with that faculty member to learn the ropes of teaching content in a specific area, and perhaps even take a couple of courses online and then bring that back in terms of having sections that are staffed with well-prepared faculty members. So it's a three-year project that I'll be undertaking as part of my fellowship, and investigating how can we test a model for collaboration nationally. How about accessing interdisciplinary education? Well, first of all, to access it, you have to mandate it, and you've got to figure out where your interdisciplinary partners are, either on your campus or on a local campus. Many of us are located in schools or near schools of or programs of public health. And I know that there are about 37 schools of public health, but there are close to 100 programs in public health. So most of us can be within a couple hours of a school of public health. And if you can think about a compressed coursework, working with those faculty, online education, etc., then there's many more opportunities for unchaining yourself from your geographic campus borders and really working well with schools of public health, schools of management, etc. And then how will you locate and develop strong practice options? I think working with the Association of State and Territorial Directors of Nursing is a real important asset to think about, because they in their states can help you locate the excellence in practice exemplars that are happening. Looking at some of the Robert Wood Johnson Turning Point sites is another way to look at the natural laboratories that are occurring in public health, and they will offer us opportunities for placement of our students in sites that are outside of our local cultural expectations. It's really wonderful when your students can have access to ideas from sites all over the country, because it really helps them bring new thinking into the local venue. So one of the things that I'm trying to do in my Robert Wood Johnson Foundation experience is sort of to free up my creativity and innovation. And I thought that this saying was really important. I keep it on my desktop, because we all do come to the table with, and I'm a pretty focused person, so perhaps me more than anybody else, a really narrow focal view of what it is that I want to achieve. And what I find is that really limits my possibilities, and so I have to, you know, sort of take off my jacket and think of in new ways. And in the end, we know what knowledge we need for advanced practice public health nursing. That's been really clear. But I think the key to our success in opening more opportunities for preparing faculty in the field of public health nursing and preparing students is that we now begin to use our imagination. How are we going to get there? Who are our partners? And what sort of new ideas are we going to create for the future? So I would invite you to join me and my colleagues as we think about new ways in which we can partner to bring public health science and nursing science within our programs, because this is our opportunity to really, really think about and prepare the next generation of our public health specialists. So I would be glad to talk to you afterwards if you're interested in some partnership ideas, and we'll take questions at the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean Carey. Let me get set up for our next speakers are Connie Diaz-Swearingen, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Close. And Pam Clark. See if I can go. And they are